Hard to believe that we are down to only three more games in the high school football season, because we just have so much to talk about here today on Prep Sports Now. I'm Case Kiefer alongside Ray Brewer. Every Monday, winding down the football season now, Prep Sports Now presented by the Nevada Department of Public Safety. Eyes on the road, hands on the wheel. You can also download this podcast on iTunes, but I assume you know all that by now. Got a lot to get into today. We're going to preview the two games. Coronado Liberty for the Sunrise title. I usually mess that up, but it's Sunrise, right?
Correct.
And then we got Gorman traveling to Reno to take on Reed for the other semifinal. Those two teams will meet at Sam Boyd next week. We were joking before this when we got in, since we're so loved up north, that there are 3.5 teams left in the state in the big region, because of course the three Vegas teams, and then we'll count the Reno team as a half.
I love that. That was the best joke you've made since I've known you. So I finally have convinced you that Reno is a dog pit.
I've got to live up to the Jack and Jill, right?
Yes.
Because they got one on us. I guess this is a good place to start. They got one on us this weekend. We both thought this was Moapa's year. We thought they were going to break the curse, beat Truckee. Well, Truckee pretty much trucked right over the Pirates. Not even all that close.
Yeah, Truckee is, in my opinion, and I put this out on Twitter, at RayBrewer21 after the game, Truckee, I think, is a top five team in the state. I think they would compete right there with Arbor, Palo, and Centennial, and Liberty, for that matter. They're extremely big on the lines, and Moapa wasn't. And Moapa, you know, made everybody look awful. They won 12 in a row this year with the great running of, you know, Mortensen and McConnell. And against Truckee, they weren't able to run the ball because they couldn't get through that line, and it forced them into doing some more passing. And, you know, Coach Lewis probably said it best when he said multiple times, Truckee forces you out of your game. It forces you to do things that you typically wouldn't. And Moapa, they started great. They went on a 17-play, 10-minute drive to open the game. They got inside the 10. They had to settle for a field goal. Truckee, three and out. Moapa gets the ball back again, drives deep. They can't get anything. And then here we are with like 8 minutes left in the second quarter. Truckee's had the ball for 46 seconds. And it's exactly what Moapa wants. That first play, touchdown, long pass. They got a kid, number 20, who's huge. He's allegedly going to Northern Arizona, according to Lake Tahoe guy, who called the boast, by the way, after the game. I think I told you that Keith called.
And you were supposed to take him to lunch, right?
I was supposed to take him to lunch on Sunday. I no show, no called. Not because I don't like Keith, but I told you already that my wife had to go to that movie.
Yeah, make sure you listen to one more shameless plug. Make sure you listen on Wednesday or Thursday when our radio show goes up online. We talk about what Brewer had to do. We talk about a lot of subjects beyond high school football. You should check it out. But go ahead, keep with your story.
Yeah, so nonetheless, Truckee is great. A lot of former players for Truckee were at the game. They were hanging on the rail at Gorman High. They had all their rings on. When Truckee takes the field, they go over to motivate them and hit the kids on the shoulder pads. It's a good program. They play good football. 4 years in a row, they beat Moapa Valley. Not to discredit what Moapa did this year. They won 12 straight games. They had that great ground attack, but they just couldn't quite get it done. Moreover, shout out to Cheyenne, because Cheyenne went up to Truckee. They were ahead in the fourth quarter by 4 points, and Truckee converts like a 3rd and 22 to get the first down and ends up beating Cheyenne. And I think Cheyenne's athleticism made them legit contenders. And I could argue that if the coin flip goes in Cheyenne's favor, that they host Lowry instead of Moapa Valley, Cheyenne probably wins a state championship, because I think they could probably beat them at Gorman. At least according to the result. I didn't see the semifinal game. But great year by Moapa. They had some nice new jerseys they got for the playoffs, some Nike jerseys. They look good. They represented the South good. They represented themselves. Overton, there was more people that drove into Gorman for the state game than you get at a home game for Moapa Valley. It was just a great football program there. They've got nothing to be ashamed about. They've run into a team, Truckee, that's won like 56 of its last 58 games. It had a 30-some game losing streak. In fact, some of the kids on their Letterman's jacket have like 34 straight wins on them. So Truckee's the real deal, and I think they would make the playoffs in every large school league in town, and I think they're better than the Reed team that Gorman's going to go over and bury this weekend.
Yeah, that's not a good sign for Reed. Yeah, I think everything you say sounds right to me. Obviously, I wasn't at the game, and it just seems like there's certain teams in any level of football that just they match up right, or it's a mental thing, whatever it is, they just hold over. They just have a hold over their opponents, and I feel like that's a classic case of that. Truckee and Moapa, we thought this would be the year Moapa breaks out, but
we were convinced.
Yeah, not to be the case, and Truckee gets it done. Regrettably, I didn't read your story on that game. I read everything written on LasVegasSun.com about high school football on Friday because I was away. But Saturday, I missed out. What was kind of the mood around Moapa? I mean, how upset were they, or what did they think after the game?
You know, what you would expect from a team that just lost a state championship game. Kids were devastated. They fell behind. They were down, I think, 14-3 at the half. Truckee got a score with like 24 or 5 seconds left in the first half, and you really thought that might have been the straw that broke the camel's back. And then Moapa comes out and they score on their first drive of the second half to cut it to 14-10, and we had a game all of a sudden. And then Truckee closes with 20 unanswered and called Jostens. We got another ring order coming.
For sure. So Truckee wins the new Division 1A state championship. Ends up the same way it's been spent these last few years, even with the realignment. Let's get on to the teams that are still playing. And before we do, before we get to these games, I just want to say the three teams whose season ended this Friday, I guess that would be Green Valley, Canyon Springs, and
Centennial.
And Centennial. What a season by all those three teams. I know we're not going to spend much time talking about them today because we got to talk about the teams that are still left, but I think all three of those programs kind of took a step this year. They all did great things. They all were close to making it even further, and I think they've all got a lot to look forward to in the future.
I would agree with you. Huge steps at Centennial, getting past Palo and Arborview, two teams that it previously hadn't beaten. And I think more importantly, that first loss to Gorman, the 49-20 outcome, was a good indication that Centennial's moving in the right way. Obviously, they lose Newton, they lose Feely, they lose Turley. So who knows if they immediately get right back to where they were, but they've got a lot of kids in that program. I think Centennial is going to be a force down the road. Of course, they've won playoff games the last 3 years, this year going the furthest. Green Valley came up short there against Coronado. Kind of a little bit of a shock for me. Green Valley kind of laid an egg, its worst game of the year. Either was the Coronado defensive front or the Coronado DBs, but Green Valley could not get anything going offensively. I picked on Twitter that they would win the region next year, maybe a little bit of an overreaction because Liberty is still in the region. I think Green Valley, you know, they're going to have Hernandez back, Lopez back. They're going to be a team to reckon with. Crosby on the offensive line, he'll be the best lineman in town. I do worry that Green Valley lost those big three seniors on the defensive line, and that D-line did key them a lot. But they're going to be able to pitch and catch it next year. If they put the work in the offseason, I think Green Valley could be the team. And Canyon Springs, they lose to Liberty, it seems like, every year in the playoffs. And, you know, Hunky's lower levels are always undefeated and untouched, and he'll have those kids ready to go again.
Yeah, I don't think it was an overreaction. I think you know, you look ahead, in Liberty, a bunch of their key players are going to be gone. Not to say they're not going to be great, and you could argue they're the favorite too, but Green Valley's offense, you have to say, is the best coming back, right?
Yeah.
I mean, with all these young kids, and defensively they're going to have some questions, but I don't think it's an overreaction if you call them the favorite at this point.
Yeah, I just, you know, when you look at what Liberty's done, you know, they're in my opinion, going to win their third straight region on Saturday. They haven't lost a league game in 20-some games. And they're the leader in the clubhouse. I know a lot of that is Capelli and Nakua. Those two guys won't be there next year. But, you talk about pure numbers and the work they do in the off season. Liberty is one of the leaders in the work they get done from January to August. You know, you go down there just one time, pick your favorite day. They got 40 kids in there lifting it up. So who knows? I'd like to see Green Valley Liberty next year, non-con. I think we'll get that.
It's a win-win for me in this game, Liberty and Coronado. Seems like that's what we're going to talk about first, because in our draft we had 2 weeks ago, who were the first two teams I took? I took Liberty, you took Green Valley and Basic, and I took Coronado. So I'm going to win no matter what.
I don't know what you saw in Coronado. Do tell.
And I love, I will tell about that, but I do love that 3 weeks ago, this is my favorite thing on the show, when I can point out when you've just totally switched course.
Okay.
You were saying anyone can win the Sunrise, it's wide open. Now you're totally the opposite.
I know.
You're saying no one should be able to compete with Liberty. Like I kind of said at the beginning, they should be a big favorite.
I did change. My tunes changed pretty quick. Liberty's got three pretty good players. Three Division I. Two and a half Division I players. And this Coronado team, great job coaching by Brad Talich. He could run for mayor of Anthem and have no problem winning because people are chanting his name from the stands. And what he's done, you got to remember, Coronado had two league wins the last 3 years, and now they have two playoff wins in Talich's first year. They hadn't been to the playoffs since 2005. And you can't discount what they've done. And I don't want it. What I say later about the Liberty Coronado game to sound like I'm discounting what Coronado's done. Great job for Coronado. But just for me, Liberty is, I've had them as the second best team in town behind Gorman all year. And Liberty's goal since day one was to get to the state championship game and to play Gorman. Anything less would be a failure. And they're one of the only teams in town that thinks they could line up and beat Gorman. What do you think, Case, and you're a smart guy, you're smarter than I am, what do you think the goal of Coronado was this year?
Maybe, you know, that's
playoffs?
Tough. I'd say maybe even, I think they felt like they could get a home playoff game. No one else did. Maybe it was get a home playoff game.
Get a home playoff game or make the playoffs. Okay, not only did they do that, they've won two playoff games, and they beat a Green Valley team that is a rival. And the kids storm the field. They feel like they're accomplished. They feel like they've, no matter what happens, they're accomplished. Liberty is not accomplished right now. You go talk to every 60 kids on that roster. You go talk to Coach Morocco and his staff, and you'll ask them if their season's a success, and they'll say, "We'll get back to us in a few weeks." At Coronado, they've already got like a huge banquet planned. And this is, you know, in fact, they've probably had to change their banquet date because usually Coronado has its banquet before Thanksgiving. You know,
which I attended last year.
Which you attended last year and I've attended in the past. To play over Thanksgiving weekend is the elite of the elite plays. Gorman, Palos. Coronado has never been in that conversation. Kids are playing basketball. Kids are wrestling. So shout out to them for what they're doing.
I agree, but I want to know, you asked me what I saw in Coronado, why I like them so much. I can answer that, but I also want to know why you're so down on this team.
No, I'm not down.
Like you're negative about them. It seems like you think they're not that good, number one. Well, number two, you were giving them grief. This is popular on Twitter. Got a ton of retweets. You're giving them grief for everything you just said for rushing the field. You didn't use my favorite line. I love when people say that about, like, act like you've been there before. Well, they haven't been there before.
Yeah,
they deserve that moment.
Are they going to run? I mean, they beat Green in the semifinals of the region. They're three wins away.
They're two wins away, number one. Two. Number two, you know you're not going to win the state championship. You know you're not going to beat Gorman.
Well, then why are you playing? If you know you're not going to win, you can't have that mentality. Do you think, and that's why Gorman is going to destroy Reed. Reed doesn't even want to be there. They think they won state last week. Liberty thinks they could beat Gorman, right?
Liberty
thinks they could beat Gorman.
Listen, I am not a Gorman hater, but you are crazy if you think it's a fair fight between the kids that Gorman has and the kids that that Coronado has.
Coronado,
so why can't they celebrate that they have a chance? I think this started a few years ago. These schools started calling themselves like the public school state champions. Coronado has a shot to do that. I mean, they're one game away. So how can you not be happy? This is going to be their last home game. They know they're not playing at home next week.
They weren't at home 2 weeks ago. They stormed Green Valley's field.
Oh, that's a rival. I disagree with you. I don't see how they don't deserve it. They're one of the four last teams left in Las Vegas. They won two league games the 2 years before. They've done nothing. It's one of the worst programs in town. They can't even have their moment of glory.
But that's the but then what's next week?
You rush Liberty's Field again.
If you rush Liberty's Field, you win the region. There's a trophy affiliated with it.
Arborview rushed the field both big wins. I covered them this year, and you weren't going off on this tangent.
They had less of a region to do it in. Wait, in 10 years, these kids are going to be looking at photos from that night and be like, wow, you guys won the championship? Talking with their college buddies or maybe their wives. Like, I know, we just won a semifinal game against Green Valley.
And they're going to be like, it's a huge deal, because you got to understand at this time, then they'll explain, in Las Vegas high school football, there was the greatest legacy we've ever been on. There's a team that's beaten everyone by 60 or 70.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a big deal. Yeah, that's what you tell them.
But Coronado's got to beat one more team to get there. If they do this against Liberty.
They're not going to be at home for Liberty.
They weren't at home last week. They weren't at home, but they were at Green Valley.
That's a big rival.
Liberty's an even bigger rival. All I'm saying is the way they celebrated discredits the game with Liberty. It's like, oh, we have a game to play? The battle for St. Rose Parkway, and Liberty and Coronado hate each other, apparently. And Coronado students are getting together with Green Valley students to root against Liberty.
I think you do it again if you beat Liberty, but
yeah,
I will say I think I was
when you beat Liberty, dude. Not don't do it when you beat Green Valley.
I'm working on not much sleep here. I'm like not all there. I was getting confused for some reason. I was thinking they were at home. They were not at home. They were at Green Valley. But I still stand by my statement that I said on Twitter that they deserve it.
And I see your argument, and I see everybody else's argument. Let the kids have a good time. They're having the best season in school history. They deserve to have this. Totally cheering for them. No doubt about it. But in my opinion, it discredits the game you have against Liberty. I mean, dude, you could beat Liberty. They only lost 35-27 to Liberty, and they were in the game. And they match up well against them.
You've got a point, too. I'm kind of surprised you're saying they match up well against them now, because you're going to pick them to lose by a bunch of touchdowns.
I'm going
to just now we're talking about how they had basically weren't giving them much of a chance.
Well, they do match up well. I mean, Brad Talich if Lance Cooper, who was my high school PE coach and a guy that I like, if he's still the coach of Coronado, I don't even know if they make the playoffs. And I think the players agree with me. And by the way, on TV, one of the Coronado players said they think they could beat Gorman all the way, including beating Gorman, FYI.
All right, well, I mean, they
Talich told me to leave that out, but it made the news anyway, so we could say.
They should think that as players. I meant the rushing the field was more the fans or whatever, right?
It was the kids, okay. The fans.
Yeah, the fans. When I'm saying the thing about.
No, the players, too. As soon as the game ended, they rushed the field to celebrate.
Of course. You all sidelines rush the field after they win a game.
Not a game. Most teams, when they win, they go to the line to go shake hands. The Coronado players ran on the field and
celebrated. I
disagree.
Most big games, players run on the field and celebrate. Most. That I've been at least. Maybe I'm crazy.
I think you've been to too many Gorman games.
That's Gorman expects to win every time.
Give me an example of a big game.
Every game I've seen Arborview win this year, they did that. Centennial did it against Arborview. I think the last five games.
Centennial beat Palo. They didn't rush the field when I was there.
When they beat Arbor, they did.
Well, in the playoffs, though.
Like the last five games I've covered, that's what teams have done.
So, all right, new etiquette. I mean, I don't think Gorman stormed the field when they beat Liberty last year in the playoffs.
That's because they're Gorman.
I mean,
they are Bishop Gorman. They haven't lost a game since 2007. 2008, whatever. You only covered Gorman this year?
No, I was at the Coronado Green Valley game.
When was the last game you covered before that that didn't involve Gorman?
I was at the No, I barely covered Gorman all year.
The last game you were at before that, if it was a big game, whoever it was, they ran right after they won and celebrated.
I mean, I was at the Green Valley Canyon game, and Green Valley didn't storm the field, even though they rallied back from.
They didn't run on the field and celebrate after they won. They just said, all right, we're going to get in line and shake hands.
They got in line because they should have won the game. They were better than Canyon.
I have a tough time believing that.
I mean,
they didn't celebrate at all. They just shook hands. They didn't get together and jump up and down and say, well, yeah, and have a breakdown. They just shook hands.
The way they do it, even in Henderson Bowl, when you get a trophy, is you get in line and you shake hands, and then you go sing the alma mater, you huddle around your – when you won a game at Wichita Collegiate, did you storm the field?
I guess I don't understand what you mean by storm the field. I thought you meant by storm the field. I thought you meant the fans. You're making it sound like the kids can't even celebrate. The kids have to shake hands and just be happy.
What is the etiquette?
You are celebrate
you gonna go
a
have
win.
A party and you're gonna make the other team stand in line? And no, then you'll get in line?
You get in line right away, but you can be happy when the seconds tip off.
Get in line, be happy, but don't go hug each other until you go shake hands.
Oh boy. This is a disaster of an argument. I don't think we're ever gonna agree. I'm not saying leave the team waiting, but you can be excited for a second and run on the field and celebrate, then shake hands.
Be excited for a second, but don't go throw water on the coach and carry people off. I mean, get in line and respect the game, right?
All right, well, good news, Green Valley. All you have to do is lose, and now Brewer doesn't hate you as much as he hates Coronado.
No, I don't hate Coronado. I in fact, listen to this, true story. One of my best friends in high school, his wife is a teacher at Coronado. He was at the game. He saw me on the field. Haven't talked to these guys in years. Invited me over for dinner last night.
Nice.
And I went.
How was it?
It was real good. I hadn't seen the people that lived three houses above from me when I was a kid, the Barlows, and they had their Thanksgiving dinner on Sunday, and I went over there. They have all their kids and stuff, and I brought my wife and kid. It was a good time.
Can I say this? Maybe we're just getting too frustrated because it is like 97 degrees in here.
Yeah, you're sweating. You've got.
I'm sweating like crazy. Like this is. I thought you were gonna call the maintenance department.
I did. They've been working on it for 2 weeks.
Oh my god.
The heat's on. We're hot. We both have. We're professionals. We have long sleeve shirts on. I like that shirt.
This is the closest I'll ever get to working in a sweatshop.
Do you get your shirts dry cleaned? Is that a dry clean shirt?
Yeah, I do get my shirts dry cleaned, but I don't think this one. This one is pretty wrinkled.
It looks good.
Oh, thanks.
Do you iron your clothes? Do you know how to iron?
No.
You and I are in the same boat with laundry. We're pretty helpless, I bet.
Yeah, I don't really do any of that.
Anyways, let's move on.
I did want to answer your original question of what I see in Coronado. Okay. I think that talent-wise, I think they're the least of the three teams left, no doubt in my mind. Mm-hmm. No offense to them. But I think they just that offense is really hard to prepare for. The offense, the way they do it, I think is hard for anyone to line up against. Defense, they play sound. Assignment-wise, it seems like they don't make a lot of mistakes. And one thing, I think it just shows how good of a team they are when the game you covered, I read your story, Derek Keller had a huge game, right? The game before.
The Spina kid had a bigger game.
Okay, whatever. Spina, yeah. That still gets my
helmet,
point.
Keller kid gets in and scores a
touchdown. Okay, still gets my point. Spina, Keller, the stories of this game. The game before, Jackson Kofor was the story. The
nice
game before, it's Chris Laliberte. The game before, it's probably someone else. I think it's a sign of a really good team when it's a different guy every single day. They don't have the star. Like Gorman, we could go to every game and write about a new Solomon because he's so great. And I'm not taking anything away
from
Gorman.
Best we've ever seen.
But when it's a team that doesn't have talent like that, it's got to be a team effort, and I feel like Coronado's doing that.
Okay, the thing – here's my worries with Coronado, besides what I told you about them playing with house money. They're not that quick. No problem. They're super banged up. Mussino's out. The Brock Tranbill kid, the wide receiver, hurt his shoulder. He's out. One of their best defenders, I can't remember the kid's name, he came to our photo day, the kid with the long hair. He broke a toe. He's out.
Yeah, they have a lot of injury problems.
So they got a lot of guys out. They're not that quick. They're well-coached and well-organized, and they're tough. I give them that. But it's, you know, every team you see has at least one kid where you're like, oh, that's a nice-looking kid. That's a D1 kid. I don't know if Coronado's got a D1 kid. Now, nothing away from him. Talich has done a great job. He's a great coach. He's up there right away with the top five or six guys in town easily. He does a superb job of finding mismatches where his team could be successful, and that's what he did against Coronado. He really found a way against Green Valley.
Right.
Green Valley scored on its opening drive, and they don't score again until 5 minutes left in the game. They made some defensive adjustments. Here's a weird one for you. Coach Talich coaches from the press box. He doesn't coach from the field ever. He sees the
never
because he's been an assistant for so long in the press box. He sees the game better from up there.
I saw him. I guess I switched sidelines a lot when I was at, when I covered base at Coronado.
He comes down at the end.
But I know I saw him down there at least a little bit.
No, he comes down at the end, and I talked to him about it after the game. And let me ask you this: who's the? I'm a huge Las Vegas High homer, aren't I?
Yes, I can't believe you picked Coronado to beat him. Actually,
okay. Is there a coincidence that Las Vegas High has fallen off a little bit now that Talich is at Coronado the last 2 years? First as an assistant and then
I mean,
head coach.
I think it's a bunch of factors, personally, at Vegas. I think they don't quite have the kids.
He did their defense single-handedly.
For sure, I agree with you. And, I mean, losing, you know, a legendary coach like
Faircloth.
Like Faircloth. I mean, that hurts too. I think it's a I think it's a confluence of factors when you look at Vegas now. But, yeah, but I agree with what you're saying. I see what you're saying.
Okay. All right.
All right.
We
so
agree.
Coronado Liberty, we'll come back and pick the game here in a little bit, although I kind of already gave a sneak peek of Brewers' pick. But let's talk about Gorman going up to Reno to face Reed. The last time this happened, you really thought Reed was going to beat him. Seems like
No. 2 times ago. They played Reed in the state game.
Oh, okay. Well, I meant the semifinal. They didn't play the semifinals up there. Yeah. It's in 3 years.
You went to the game. You texted me a score 3 minutes into the game. It was 28-0.
Yeah. It's just insane to think of. That was the first year I was here, first year covered high school football, and Solomon was already their quarterback. What's it going to be like next year when we line up, talk about high school football, and we don't have this kid to talk about?
We've got Cunningham as the quarterback.
It's still just going to be wild. It seems like he's never going to leave.
Exactly. Here's my deal with the Reed-Gorman game. Waste of time, quite honestly. And I can't believe I would ever use those words to describe a high school game, but Reed last week beat the Monte Ranch 59-7.
Is that coached by
Dupree? I'm going to get into that.
Former Bonanza coach Sean Dupree.
Your man, Sean Dupree. 59-7. The game was played on the UNR field. I saw photos in the Reno Gazette Journal. The Reed kid celebrated like they won the state title. You know why? Because to them, that was a state championship game. They know they can't beat Gorman. Gorman knows they're going to destroy him. And they've got the built-in excuse of, I was at the state game last year. Gorman put up 72 on him or whatever, and that was supposed to be the best Reed team in a while. And I was in the press box, and the whole time the Reed people were yelling at the NIAA, oh, you got to get this thing fixed with Gorman. It's unfair, yada, 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 right? What do you know? In February, all of a sudden, the NIAA, they want to create a private school league for Gorman to compete in. Why? The NIAA is located in Northern Nevada. Northern Nevada, they got to go to the supermarket, to the church with all these people. They complain. The NIAA finally says, well, let's try to get a public school league. Obviously, that fails. I mean, a private public. Obviously, that fails, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So now the Reed people hear their parents complaining. They've got the built-in excuse. This is going to be – if I think that Coronado is already crowned a successful season, Reed, this is just like going through the – it's a waste of money to even go to the game. To for Gorman to travel up. It's just, and I don't want to sound negative or too opinionated, but Reed is not going to give an effort at all. It's just going to be, anyways, go ahead. Let's move on with the show.
I don't have too much to add.
If I'm wrong on that, call me out and let me know. I
know nothing about the situation for the record, so I'm going to leave this one to you.
Okay. And I talked to my sources in Reno because I was at the Truckee game. Lake Tahoe guy and everybody else on Twitter and people I saw in the crowd, I said Truckee was the best team in Northern Nevada, regardless of classification. Not too many people disagreed with me. Granted, it was a Truckee crowd. Somebody with the NIAA even told me that Northern football was down this year. Sean Dupree did a great job at the Monte Ranch. His first year with the program, he's trying to build it up. He got those guys all the way through to the championship game. They won playoff games, multiple games. Great job, right?
Right.
Go back to the Reno Gazette Journal. Reading the Reno Gazette Journal, they got a preview of the Reed the Monte Ranch championship game, and they've got a portrait of four the Monte Ranch football players. Looks like Brian Norderly, all four of them. He's a news intern for us. He weighs about 135 pounds, right?
Wiry guy.
But wiry guy.
Very athletic, though.
Athletic, great basketball shooter. Not discounting him. What I'm saying is that those four kids, they didn't look like football players. I mean, they're football players. They had the jerseys on. They're probably pretty good, and I don't want to discredit them, mm-hmm. especially Coach Dupree, who's a friend of ours that we like, who might be listening and might want to call us out. No, great job up there, Sean. You're the man. I'm not calling out anybody. But they didn't look like he's got his weight program fully implemented, if you know what I'm saying. Northern Nevada football is down this year. I think probably seven Vegas teams, even with the travel, could go up there and play with Reed. Arbor, Centennial, Palo, Gorman, obviously, Liberty, Green Valley, Canyon, Coronado, for sure. Basic.
Maybe even Basic.
Easily. Moapa Valley, even. I think we'd go up there and beat them. I think, and not taking anything away from anybody, because I don't do that, and I'm sorry if I've offended anybody. I appreciate everybody listening to the show and still talking to me. But I'm saying right now, Case, this Reed team is not the Reed of yesteryear, and they've got that built-in excuse.
This is not your mother's Reed team.
This is not your mother's Reed team.
This is perfect because I'm really cooling off now because I'm just letting you take over the show.
I took my shirt off. Yeah, just to let you know.
Yeah, Brewer is now in an undershirt because it is so hot in here. Yeah.
Sunscreen and an undershirt.
It seems like you know a little bit about the North. Was Reed unbeaten in as far as playing Reno teams? Or
I don't know. I'm not quite sure.
Well, they beat DeMonte Ranch 49-7.
59, I think.
59-7, and they were the other team left. You got to think they're pretty good.
And then you have to remember, when Gorman went up there 3 years ago, we had said, okay, Gorman was great locally, but nobody travels to Reno and does good in the snow and the travel and everything. And they went up there, and they were just so crisp and efficient. And that was when Reed had two D1 linemen, right? And then last year's Reed team, they were putting up big numbers. They could pitch and catch. They got some athletes. And Gorman just was perfect. They were crisp on every play. You know, it was Solomon had more passing yards than half of Las Vegas in the first half of the game all year. But
it's
just not going to be a good game. And it's not because Gorman is so superior than Reed. I think it's right now Vegas is better than Reno. We know that in everything. But Vegas football is better than Reno football. I don't think there's a Reno team that could come down and beat one of those 10 Vegas teams that I listed, in my opinion.
It is interesting that Reed seems year in and year out to be.
They're the new McQueen, I think.
Oh, but McQueen did make the state championship last year?
2 years ago.
2 years ago.
Two years ago, yeah.
Right. All right, well, I guess since there's not much to break down in this game, we both think Gorman is going to absolutely roll.
I'd like to see him score 100. To be honest with you.
I don't think they're going to score 100. Why not? I think they'll make it a point not to score 100.
Okay, if they got 100, I would celebrate them.
All right.
Go ahead. Wrongly, I'm sure.
Who should we look out for in this game other than Solomon? Who from Gorman is going to rise to the semifinal occasion and really give Reed fits?
Here's the deal. It's tough to pinpoint somebody with Gorman because they have so many people that could beat you. Or even like our friends at the RJ ran a photo of a Gorman player scoring a touchdown against Centennial. I never heard of the kid before, honest to God. And I'm over at Gorman apparently every day, right? Because all my critics say it's the Gorman Gazette or whatever it is. Never heard of the kid that scored the touchdown. 84. Shout out to him. Taking it to
you
the
don't
house.
Even know his name?
Honestly, I can't even remember
I'm
going
to try to look it up.
Pull it up. But they just have so many people that could beat you. And it's an era that's going to end in 2 weeks because Solomon Smith, Tillman, all going to be gone, and they're going to have to – I don't want to say start over offensively because they'll still have Starks, but I don't know who Cunningham's going to throw the ball to.
Riley Hoff.
Never heard of
him. He's only
before.
A junior, so that's who Cunningham throws it to.
He'll be
yeah.
back. So it'll be the Riley Hoff show next year. He'll be a D1 kid.
The Riley Hoff show. Makes sense to me. I will say one thing that stood out to me about Gorman. We knew they were going to get to this point. We knew they were going to beat everyone, but defensively – they've really answered the call here in the playoffs. I know briefly talking to Tony Sanchez, he said they really going into the playoffs were, you know, preaching that they needed to create more turnovers, play better defense. Well, the first game of the playoffs, of course, We've talked about it. Lorenzo Fertitta sets the interception record. They get,
they
I think,
only
two,
had 10 turnovers going into
the
playoffs.
I think they get two other turnovers. Okay, then now we got the turnovers down. We need to start playing better defense. We've got some donkey over in the paper picking us to lose by 26 or picking us to give up 26. I loved in the story you mentioned that someone picked him to lose by 26. Now we got to bear down and just shut a team down completely, which they did against Centennial. I think
the donkey, right? One week I'm Jill, yeah, yeah. And the next week I'm the donkey.
I was just trying to think of a word to describe you, but I think defensively they've gotten better as the year's gone on. I think that's been a big thing for them.
They have. I am looking forward to the potentially seeing Liberty Gorman. I'm picking Liberty in the other game, as you know.
Right. All right. So go ahead and get to the picks.
Yeah, I'm picking Gorman.
All right, I'm picking Gorman too.
Oh, big shock. Okay, go ahead.
I guess then we'll talk about Coronado and Liberty. How much do you like Liberty to win by, and why do you like them to win by such a wide margin?
Like I said last week against Canyon, I really think this is I thought Liberty was going to really stretch it out against Canyon. They only won by 10. I don't know if – I think the rest of the city is kind of caught up to Liberty a little bit, that we just have a lot of good teams and a lot of balance. And I think Coronado is included in that mix. I look for Talich to really have his kids prepared and organized to face Liberty. But I just don't see Liberty. I think Liberty wins by 19, 20 points. I really do. I think Capelli's healthy finally. Nakua is the man. Mitchell's quick. Defensively, they pitched a shutout last week.
That is true. That's big that they did the shutout last week.
I love what Coronado does with that spread offense. They hold up all the signs. You don't know what play's coming.
That's helpful against Liberty, I think.
Yeah, I still don't know if you could spread Liberty to beat them, because you're going to have to be quicker, and I don't think they are.
Here, can I make the case for Coronado, I guess?
Go ahead.
This is kind of ruined because Liberty gave up no points last week and seems like they have things under control. But what's the one thing that you particularly – I haven't disagreed with you, but that you bring up every year these last 3 years about that Liberty has a problem with, or
speed.
Maybe is a weak point?
Speed.
Oh, no, that wasn't what I was thinking of. Maybe the second one.
But haven't I said that with speed?
Yeah, that's true, but I'm kind of thinking of the speed one I disagree with you on, the one I don't disagree with you on, and usually kind of shake my head yes.
Penalties? Liberty
yeah,
penalties?
Well, that has to do with it. I think penalties, discipline, kind of. Uh-huh. They come out. Sometimes they sleep through a few minutes of the game. They do something, have like a turnover they shouldn't have some penalties. That's one thing you can't do against Coronado. To me, Coronado, like I said earlier, play so well as a team. They don't make a lot of mistakes. Their whole offense is designed to take advantage of you not being disciplined. They line up. They look for where you're going to make mistakes. To me, that's where Liberty could lose. If they don't play their assignments on defense, if they don't have discipline, which we've seen them not have sometimes in the last 3 years, that's how Coronado could catch them and beat them, in my opinion.
Coronado's going to have to be perfect to beat them, Case. They're going to have to be perfect to beat them.
And
this is not two equally matched games.
This is pretty.
This is Coronado, okay? I know it's not your mama's Coronado. I know it's an improved Coronado team. But, dude, it's still the same Jimmy and Joes that couldn't make the playoffs since 2005. It's not like not only did new coach come, he brought 11 new players with him. Okay, yeah, they're better coach. Yeah, they're probably a little stronger. But it's still Liberty, Capelli, Nakua against these guys. And again, I'll go back to what I said. For Liberty, if they lose, it's a disappointment. If Coronado, if they lose, they're still getting their photos at Applebee's.
Applebee's?
Yeah, you know this is your hometown.
Oh, okay. All right.
And by the way, the Applebee's by Durango High called us. They want photos of the Durango football team to hang.
Oh, wow.
Of Durango. I didn't even know there was an Applebee's by Durango.
All right. I agree with you on your last point about how Liberty, they aren't happy unless they make the state championship. It's been that way all year, and Coronado's already had a great year. I agree at that point. But I definitely disagree that Coronado has to play absolutely perfect to win. They did.
Perfect. They have to be
go back perfect. And were you at the first game, Coronado Liberty?
No, you were there, obviously.
I was not there.
Oh, okay, maybe it was Paul.
But
that was there.
Reading
okay.
about it and talking to people about it, and hearing about it, Coronado feels like they made a lot. They made some mistakes in that game. They don't think they played great, and they almost won. Did they not? I'm not saying they can go out and have an average game. If they play average, they will lose. But they don't have to play perfect. The gap between Liberty and Coronado is not that big.
It's not that big. It's not as big as it's been in years
it's
past.
Not perfect. They do not have to play perfect, in my opinion.
But there is a gap. Would you agree?
Yeah, there's a gap.
Okay,
I'm
say
saying
it again. There's a gap. Amen, brother.
Liberty is a touchdown favorite.
Liberty, dude.
At least a touchdown
Liberty
favorite.
Liberty is back-to-back Sunrise champions.
What a role reversal. This was 3 weeks ago. I was the one saying this, and you were arguing with me that anyone could beat them. Oh, now I got to make the case that someone could beat them?
I know. I've changed my tune.
All right. Here's the deal.
I changed my tune. Liberty has lost one time this year to a team from California that was significantly bigger than them, and no other team has come close to Crespi this year. This Liberty team is good.
They're great.
They're great. Back to back to back, I'm saying. Give me the Patriots, dog.
The thing is, though, they have been in some close games. Palo almost came back and beat them. They beat Canyon Springs by 3-10. They beat Basic by 6. Coronado the first time, most important, they won by 6. I think this could be a close game. I kind of feel like, do you remember 3 years ago when Liberty first broke out and had their first big year? That's one team that I was on the bandwagon of from the beginning that year. I think I picked them in every game, and I even got some grief for it. People were like, oh, why are you picking Liberty or Liberty home or whatever? I feel like that it's kind of coming
you
back.
You were a Liberty homer.
I feel like it's kind of coming back around now, and people think I'm a Coronado homer. I picked them in the upset last week. It was right. I got some flack for that. Some people called me out.
Yeah.
I got Sam McAloon on Twitter.
I know.
And that's scary because if there's one kid I don't want to mess with, it's him. Have you seen how big the kid is?
Yeah.
There's a reason they call him Thor. But anyways, I got some grief for that. And that's why I hate jumping off this Coronado bandwagon, is I feel like I'm part of the
I'm having dinner in the Coronado zone last night.
I've picked Coronado almost every game this year. There's only maybe the first Liberty game I didn't, but I just can't go against Liberty here. I think you make a really good point that this is what they've thought about all year. These kids for Liberty have been to this point before. I got to go with the Patriots, but I think it's going to be a close game. I don't think that Coronado loses by any more than 10.
Okay. I could agree with that.
Yeah. Well, obviously you don't. You picked them to lose by 20.
I'm not going to yell at you for it.
You picked them to lose by 20, so obviously not. I'm sorry I want to pick Coronado, but I can't give up a loss. I kind of want to go. I love upsets. That's my favorite thing. I want to pick upsets in high school football, but I can't. I think Liberty's got this.
I mean, the only way for me that Coronado wins is if Capelli's car breaks down on the way to the game, and he's got to take the bus, and he shows up at halftime.
Can he not give someone else a call and they come get him?
Well, say his cell phone it's got no signal. Say he's with AT&T like I am, and he's got no bars.
And we know, according to you, I think he could just run there. But according to you, he can't run there because he's too slow. He wouldn't get there in time.
No, I've never said that about
Capelli.
Yes,
you have.
This
where you
year?
Can go to the archives
this,
and you yeah. call the kid
After
slow.
After he committed to UNLV,
one of the best running backs in the history of Las Vegas. And you
now he's a rebel, baby, just like me.
All right.
Go fight rebels win. Dun.
Should be fun Friday. Brewer will be out at Liberty.
Saturday, too.
Saturday?
Yeah.
Oh, the game Saturday?
Saturday afternoon.
Okay.
You'll be in Alabama at the Iron Bowl, and I'll be at the Battle for St. Rose Parkway.
That's for sure. So come say hi to Brewer and stop back in next Monday, where we'll be back with Prep Sports Now.
And the Monday after that, we'll be talking basketball.
All right. Thanks for listening. Prep Sports Now.